happen.
And welcome to Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. Today we're going to explore not only the misconceptions associated with religion and politics, with military and economic schemes, we're going to consider why these myths are being perpetrated and what is the consequence of them. How will these myths affect you and those you love? I'm going to do my best this morning to explain why these things have happened. But more than this, this evening begins a remarkable day. It is Yom Kippurim. It is the Day of Reconciliation, starting at sunset this evening, wherever you may live. And this is the day that we discussed briefly at the end of our program yesterday. And what it represents, why it exists on Yahweh's calendar, what is the consequence of this day for those who embrace it, what is the consequence of this day to those who ignore it or reject it. And what we will find, as we discovered also briefly yesterday, is that this is a day that is literally life and death. So we will return very early in our program today to Yom Kippurim. My attempt today will be to weave aspects of the invitation to celebrate Yom Kippurim, the Day of Reconciliations, along with what is it that is being reconciled on this day. And we will turn to out of the Torah for that into the book known as Jeremiah. It means actually Yirmiyahu is the actual name. And we're going to turn to the renewal and restoration of the covenant. And also during our discussion today, we're going to consider what this day represents prophetically. What's going to happen on this day in our not-too-distant future? It is the day that Christians think is impossible to know, and yet it is the day that God tells us explicitly what is going to occur. So I hope you listen to the entire program today. We're going to interweave these thoughts and themes throughout our entire discussion. If at any time during the show you wish to challenge anything I have to say or just join in the discussion, our number is 877-300-7645. I'm going to begin by telling you something that is consistent with something we've said a lot on the Shattering Myths program. When the President of the United States, in his United Nations address, said that the movie was an insult to Muslims and an insult to Americans, he lied. And the purpose of that lie was to create this myth that the movie unfairly presents Muhammad. That presenting Muhammad as suicidal, that presenting Muhammad as a pedophile, presenting Muhammad as foolish, presenting Muhammad as a mass murderer, presenting Muhammad as a sexual pervert, presenting Muhammad as a terrorist is an insult, is what he is inferring. It is to some degree, the reaction that Muslims are having is they don't like their prophet being presented that way. But that's not an insult to Muslims, because those things are all true. You can't insult the Roman Catholic Church by saying that they have a very severe problem with pedophilia. It's true. So it isn't an insult to Muslims, and it most certainly isn't an insult to Americans. One person is responsible for producing the film. It is an insult to that amateur. And to the degree that that individual is an amateur film producer, I'm not even sure it's a significant insult to them. It's cartoonish. It's childish. It's very poorly produced. It is not an effective tool, because an effective tool wouldn't just, in a cartoonish way, akin to the, the early television shows where you had people running around chasing each other and all kind of slapstick comedy with some violence mixed in. That isn't the way that you expose and condemn issues as serious as the violent nature of Islam. If you want to understand and then thwart the Islamic tendency to act out as terrorists, killing innocent people, killing more of their own than they kill of anyone else. But if you want to understand why they fly planes into our buildings, why they scream Allahu Akbar as they murder young children, why they wear suicide vests as they walk into public marketplaces, why they riot and are enraged, killing people because of a childish, amateurish movie, which, by the way, is accurate. If you want to understand why they don't know that Muhammad was a pedophile, a rapist, a sexual pervert, a mass murderer, and a terrorist, then you aren't going to come to understand through a childish cartoon strip of a movie. That's not going to help anybody. This is serious stuff. The lives of your children depend upon whether or not enough Americans are, and Europeans and people who are not Muslims around the world, coming to recognize that this evil of Islam cannot be tolerated. If we do not collectively shed our apathy and our ignorance, not only to save Muslims, bad Muslims, those Muslims who are not jihadists, from Islam, and then save ourselves from the terror that it inspires, the kind of world we're going to see will be the world of the riots, the worlds of murder and mayhem, of complete carnage and destruction. That is the world that is on our horizon. Not only if we don't shed our ignorance about this religion and take it seriously, but because we won't. Now, it is true that our leaders are way too far lost, way too dishonest, disingenuous, self-serving, and I put Obama at the highest pinnacle of that list, way too hypocritical to ever tell the truth about this religion, to ever do the right thing for America and the world regarding the threat of Islam. That doesn't mean that as an individual listening to this program that you are exonerated from shedding your apathy if you are unaware of Islam. Because you can make a tremendous difference in your community. You can make a tremendous difference in the world. One individual can save many. One individual can protect their family, can lead their loved ones away from this. And that's what you ought to be doing. You don't do that through an amateurish, cartoonish character. The means to understanding is the same that Yahweh presents throughout his Torah testimony. First, you have to observe so that you come to know. God does not tell us to observe, for example, Yom Kippurim in the sense of keeping it. He doesn't tell us to observe it in the sense of obeying it. He doesn't tell us to observe it in the sense that we have to fall in lockstep with his demands. To observe is to open your eyes. It's to focus on what is before you. It's to examine that which can be considered so that you know the evidence. So that you are no longer ignorant. Ignorant is the lack of knowing. Yah said that my people are destroyed because of their ignorance. Ignorance is destructive. And the remedy for ignorance, the cure to ignorance, is observing Yahweh's testimony in his Torah, prophets, and Psalms. To observe it is to come to know it. Then God wants us to, in the Hebrew word, would be bien, to transition between shamar, which is to observe, and yada, which is to know, to bien, which is to understand. And throughout his teaching and guidance, he tells us to do the very thing you have to do regarding Islam if you wish to avoid being a victim of it. And that is you have to transition once you know to understand. Understanding is about connecting things, about considering what Allah says in his Quran, considering what Muhammad said, considering what the leaders of the Islamic world say, and making connections between that and what you have learned from Yah's Torah teaching. And when you can make those connections and you contemplate them, you can come to understand them. Once you, for example, understand the role of the adversary, Hasatan, the Hebrew word for adversary, his name is Halal bin Shakar. Once you understand his role and the fact that God refers to him by the title Lord. Yes, Lord, according to God, is Satan. God himself doesn't want to lord over anyone. He wants the opposite of that. He wants to be dad. Satan wants to lord over the world, creation. He wants to be worshipped as God, and God doesn't want to be worshipped at all. And so once you come to know this, the teaching that God has provided regarding his nature, and therefore come to appreciate the opposite nature of Satan, and then you study the Quran and Hadith of Muhammad, the words and deeds of Muhammad, you can transition, once you know, from knowing to understanding. And my friends, there are few gifts in this world more valuable than understanding. Maybe none. And by understanding it, you will know that Allah was modeled after Satan. You will see so many evidences, so many proofs, that the conclusion becomes undeniable to those who know. That Islam is not a monotheistic religion in the sense that all these, you know, monotheistic religions all have Abrahamic roots and they all lead to the same God. That we all worship the same God. The opposite of that is true. Just because something is stated doesn't make it true. And when you come to understand, you can begin to differentiate that which is true from that which is not. You will understand why it is so essential that you reject the President of the United States when he says that the movie is reprehensible. That's an insult. When that is not true. And the opposite is in fact true. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're talking about one of the gravest myths in the world today. This notion that ignorance is bliss and that if you just respect the office of president, then that's the appropriate thing to do. You know, that to this idea that you can trust politicians or your media and that that religions don't all point in the same direction, that they all point actually in opposite directions. There are no religions that are good. But what I'm mostly trying to share with you this morning is that we have changed a great deal here in America recently. I don't think our politics have changed much. I think you could go all the way back to the beginning and it's been rotten. But most Americans have been raised now and have been indoctrinated in schools that have political correctness as their replacement mandate for morality. And political correctness, which is the moral code of socialist secular humanism, which is the national religion of America's academic institutions, its political forums, and also the national religion of not only academia, but of the media. That political correctness has it was very ingeniously designed. It was designed by Adam Weishaupt, who had a huge influence over George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin, the founders of America. And what it's designed to do is to resolve the this issue of knowing. You see, Weishaupt, who is the founder of the Order of the Enlightened, it's known as the Illuminati by conspiracy theorists. What he recognized is that if he was opposed to God, and he was wanted to create a religion that would be effective in him controlling people, and what he recognized is there's two ways to oppress people effectively. One of those ways is you restrict what they can know, because we're talking this morning about how the American president has lied to America about this movie and what the consequence of that is. That if he can effectively lie and no one holds him accountable, what that means to America's future. And so what Adam Weishaupt recognized is that if you can preclude people from knowing, or you feed them erroneous information, they're easy to control, because you can't understand if you don't first know, or at least have access to accurate information, or if you've been fed inaccurate information. It's the purpose of propaganda. It is the purpose of censorship. It's why in the Islamic world there is no free press. It is why in the Islamic world, if you tell the truth, you will be killed. It's why in communist countries that were the manifestation of socialist secular humanism, propaganda was all that prevailed. There was no access to a free media. Yes, Scott.
It's also what makes the government fear the internet, because it allows mm-hmm. us to have free range of talk with each other, and that's why they come up with things like your SOPAs and all that to try and contain what they can then control what you see on the internet.
That's correct. Now, there's a second side to this equation, which Scott has just pointed to. This is the perfect transition. So the first thing that you try to do, and the easiest thing to do, is you do what happens in fascist Islamic countries and what happened in communist countries. You control people's access to information. You shut it down, and then you only provide them with rubbish. If you're only provided with rubbish, like in an Islamic society, all you're provided with is Islamic teaching, which is pure poison, then it doesn't matter how considerate you are, you will never understand, because the information you are given is erroneous. So, for example, all of these little rioters in the Islamic countries, the murderous destroyers that we see reacting to the film, they're ignorant. There is, even if they had the capacity to reason, even if they had the discipline or the will to reason, it would make no difference, because the information that they have been given is poisonous and polluted. It is errant. Now, enter the internet. You know, it's kind of interesting in this light that when we look at the statistics of who reads Prophet of Doom, which is the most comprehensive, best documented, most chronological and contextual presentation of Muhammad's own words and deeds as they were recorded in the earliest Islamic sources. As we trace who reads it, per capita, the book has been read far more per capita in the Islamic world than it has in the West. In nations that don't even have English as a primary language, it has been listened to and read more in those countries. It tells you a great deal about the apathy of the West and the realization that there's something dreadfully wrong with Islam. So when we return, we're going to talk about the second half of this equation and how people are kept from understanding, even when there is a sea of information available to them. I am Yada. This is Shattering Myths. Good morning and welcome back to a special edition of Shattering Myths. I am your host, Yada. What we were talking about during the break is the transition. I have shared with you that religious leaders and political leaders throughout time have come to recognize that controlling people's access to information is a very effective way of controlling them. That's why for almost 1,000 years, the Roman Catholic Church, in its control of Europe, made it a crime punishable by death for anyone to own a copy of the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, or even the so-called Christian New Testament. They did not want anyone to have access to the information for fear they come to understand it and recognize that the Christian church was wrong. You can't know that your government is wrong if all the information that you have comes from your government. You can't come to know that your religion is wrong if all of the information that you are absorbing comes from your religion. It's hard to know that being patriotic is wrong if all of the imagery and all of the information you get is from others who are patriotic. So controlling information is the first plank in controlling people. The second is the realization that there are some societies where access to information is ubiquitous. Enter the Internet. Now, on the Internet, there is 99% of the information is not accurate, it is not helpful, it is not useful. In fact, it is counterproductive. But out there is a tiny fraction of 1% of the information on the Internet that's actually useful. It will help you, if you are observant, to know. But then the issue becomes, what good is knowing if you don't understand? And now we enter the political mantra of political correctness. Yes, Scott?
I was going to say, it's no different than religion. I mean, on the Internet, you see a lot of stuff that you're going to want, that you think is going to be true and things like that. But if you do your due diligence on any religion or anything like, or, you know, things like that, if you put enough time into research, you'll see it's not right. And you'll find that 1%.
Yeah, it takes, but it, again, it takes effort. You have to be focused in your observation of information. It gets right back to the Hebrew term shamar. And shamar Torah, mean Torah observant, doesn't mean that you keep the Torah. It means that you observe it, you scrutinize it, you consider it, you focus upon what it has to say. The same thing is true with the Internet. When I'm Googling something because I want to see if there's anyone who has thought a particular idea through or has presented it, and if I stumble upon an article on this subject that I'm contemplating, and they make a statement, or they say, you know, this such and such was said by such and such a person, I will immediately start a fact check, and I will see, is that properly documented? Is that true? Can I verify that? If I can't verify it, I'll give them a second shot. If I can't verify that, I'll give them a third. After that, if you can't verify what they're saying, it's over. It's a waste of my time. That's why Yah, throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, verifies his testimony through precisely accurate prophecies, predictions, all of which either have or come true or are literally coming true, manifesting before our very eyes. For example, the unification of the Islamic world and these riots that we're witnessing and their vehement attacks on Israel. And so that's the way that you go to observe effectively. Now, what political correctness has done, and it is ubiquitous in America's media, politics, and academic institutions, is it says that to be judgmental, to exercise good judgment, to differentiate, which is the essence of understanding, is a crime. In fact, it's the worst crime. For political correctness devotees, they look at mutually exclusive ideas as being acceptable. You know, coexist bumper stickers where all the little symbols down there, most of the symbols, seek the destruction of the others, the annihilation of the others. And this idea that mutually exclusive things can both be true. You know, the Torah says one thing, the Quran says the other, they are opposites. Yah is presented one way in the Torah, and Allah is presented in the opposite way in the Quran, and the Quran says that the Quran confirms the Torah. Well, that's impossible. If you are rational, you know that that statement cannot be true. But if you're poisoned by political correctness, you don't care. Because such exclusive decisions exercising good judgment, you have been conditioned not to do. And so in our society today, the vast preponderance of people have been conditioned such that they will not, under any circumstances, exercise good judgment. They won't be judgmental. And therefore, it is impossible for them to understand. I don't care how much information they process, they will never understand. They have been controlled. Their fate is sealed. Nothing. No amount of evidence or reason will have any influence over them. We see this all the time. Try. Jews use any one of a thousand examples as presented in Yada Yah or in the Introduction to God with a zealously political, patriotic, or religious individual. Present them information that is irrefutable, that is undeniable, that their beliefs are wrong, that their opinions, which are based on faith and culture and propaganda, are errant, and it'll make no difference to them. This is the world we live in. And what God wants is exactly the opposite. He wants us to be observant so that we come to know. He wants us to think so that we come to understand. He wants us to exercise good judgment, which is why one of the three gifts he gave to all of us, the thing that differentiates humans from all other animals, is that we have a nesama, a conscience, that we can use to be discerning, to exercise good judgment. Because once you come transition from observing to knowing, and then from knowing to thinking so that you understand, then you're in a position to respond rationally, morally, appropriately. Now, as it relates to the world as we see it, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad said earlier this week on Monday that Israel has no roots in the Middle East and would be eliminated. The response by the General Assembly was to say we should avoid incendiary rhetoric, as if saying things that are hateful is the problem, as opposed to lying. I'm here to tell you that it's bad information that gets you into trouble. If you are a Christian and you're studying Christian material, it is poisoning you. If you are a Muslim and you're studying Muslim material, it is poisoning you. If you are a political junkie and you're feasting off the political rhetoric of your cohorts, it's poisoning you. If you want to understand, you've got to go to the foundation, the only reliable source in the universe, Yahweh's Torah, His prophets and Psalms. That is what you need to observe and think about to understand. And when you do, everything else falls into place. When you understand that Allah was modeled after Satan, that Muhammad was demon-possessed, as was Paul, when you come to understand that, you understand why Ahmadinejad would say that Israel has no roots in the Middle East, even though it is an absolute lie. To anyone who is the least bit aware of history, knows it's a lie. He embarrassed himself, but not in a world that is so poisoned with religious lies. And you will understand why he is focused on eliminating Israel, because that's the very thing that Magog Federation, which will be headquartered in a united Iran-Iraq, something America did, arming Israel's enemies, providing 24 times more weapons to Israel's enemies than to Israel. We have set up the Magog War. Consequence of that, my friends, is that, and this should provide motivation to you, one out of every two people alive on the planet today will be dead, will be killed. All because we chose to be ignorant, and even when we shed a little bit of our ignorance, we were unwilling to be judgmental. And therefore, so few of us have come to understand. Now, I shouldn't be lecturing to this audience, because this is an audience where the preponderance of the people have invested the time to know, have been thoughtful and focused, and have come to understand. But the vast preponderance of people have not. And this is the consequence. Now that you understand what's going to happen, because of this continuing vacuum of understanding, you now know why people can see a poorly produced movie trailer that's just laughable, and why they would respond by killing, by murdering, by destroying, and why they did it around the world, why they did the same thing when a few Qurans were burned, that was their response to it. When you understand the nature of the poison that they have ingested, and the fact that they have no access to accurate information, and that even if they had it, they could not process it, you understand why they respond this way. And you understand that nothing will change them. You can't dissuade Iran from completing its nuclear bomb with diplomacy. It will not work. Once you understand the mindset of Islam and how it has poisoned Ahmadinejad, you know it won't work. You also know that you can't have a democratic revolution in the Islamic world. You understand that because Islam means submission. You understand that because the people living in those countries have all been poisoned with this demonic religion. And they will never be able, ever, to live in a society that is free and open, productive, uplifting, nurturing, civil. It's impossible. And then once you come to know those things, then you can say, well, is there an answer? Is there hope? Where is the hope? And here's where you find it. In Yah's Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, the very book that Paul condemned as being annulled, the very book that Paul said was of the flesh, the very book in testimony that Paul said was a cruel taskmaster, that he said could not save. That's why I attack, criticize, expose, and condemn the religion of Christianity in Paul, so that those of you who know that he lied might turn to the one place there is hope. Yesterday in our program, we were considering Yom Kippur. And this is timely because it is the means that we go about reconciling our relationship with God, and its celebration, this invitation to the party, begins this evening. It is an invitation that I don't want you to miss. So as we return to our program after the commercial break, we will return to the Torah and understand the direction that Yahweh has provided to all of us. To this special edition of Shattering Myths. The reason that we focus in the first part of the program on shattering the myths associated with politics and religion, academia and political correctness, the consequence of apathy and of ignorance and of being irrational, of being patriotic, of being political, of being religious, is that once you come to understand that Yahweh has told us that these things are unreliable, that the things of man are poison to us, then you're in a position where you're willing to consider his guidance, his direction. And we are now turning to the heart of his teaching in the Torah, which means teaching, and are going to observe his invitation to reconcile our relationship with him. It comes from a book that he called Kara. Kara means to invite, to summon, to welcome, to meet, to greet, to read, and to recite. It is interesting, of course, for those who have an ear for language, that while Kara is a Hebrew word, and while Kara is the basis of the term Mikra and Mikre, Mikra and Mikre is the singular and plural of the title that God ascribes to his seven festival feasts. It means invitations to be called out and to meet with God. But Kara is also used in that very religion that we were exposing and condemning in the first half of this program. Islam. What book does Islam have that uses Kara as its root? Do I hear some of you saying Quran? Yes. You see, the book that Muhammad claimed was pure Arabic is based, in fact, on Hebrew. Kara means to read and recite. The very name of the book that Muslims have been poisoned by is a bastardization and twisting of a Hebrew term, Kara. So here's what we read from Kara. This is the 23rd chapter, 26th and 27th verses, and we will continue. Then Yahweh, just didn't say then the Lord, it says then Yahweh, declared the word Dabar. The word of Yahweh is symbolic of him. It represents him. It is the manifestation of Yah's presence in our world. Then Yahweh declared the word to Moshe. Moshe is a Hebrew name that means to draw out. It means to draw away from, in particular, the crucible of Egypt, which was symbolic of human religious and political and military and economic corruption and oppression. To Moshe saying, on the 10th of the 7th month, 10th day, 7th month. 7 is essential to understanding God. You want to understand his plan of salvation? You want to understand the nature of the universe itself? The answer is always 7. It's not random. It's 6, which is the number of man who's created on the 6th day. In addition to God, who is one, equaling God's promise of perfection, is what Shabbat means. Month is Kodesh. It is a time of renewal. We will stumble into this term again as we consider the renewal of God's covenant. And the 7th month is the day, the Yom of Reconciliations. It is Kippurim. You've probably heard Yom Kippur. Well, it is actually, according to God, in his testimony, Kippurim, reconciliations, pardons and forgiveness. He says this exists. He uses the word Haya, which is now the very basis of his name. So in the next sentence, he describes the very basis of his name. Yahweh is based on the Hebrew word Haya. This was, it is, and it always will be. This exists as a set apart and cleansing, a Kodesh. This is the very invitation. Now we are being handed tonight, after sunset, to meet with God. I want you to listen to this, because you have been given this invitation. What you choose to do with it will determine whether your soul continues to live or whether it ceases to exist. He says, this exists as a set-apart and cleansing, called-out invitation, a mikra. Now, Kodesh, set-apart and cleansing, drives right to the heart of Yah's testimony. The Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh, the Spirit that is set apart, strives to set us apart from the world, that very corruption that we've considered in the first half of the program, and unto God. This day, this Mikra of Yom Kippurim, this is designed to set us apart from the religious and political world of man and unto God's covenant family. Back in a moment.
I've seen the longevity products work for many others. And so I bought a bunch of them, started using them, had a little bit of results, but I wasn't following the regimen every day. But Aaron Dykes in my office.